WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST, Baltimore Positive. We got a very Baltimore Positive crew here at State Fair today. We have demolished Evan Brown's Crab Cakes. We are at State Fair in the 21228. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive, my co-host as always, and another former Baltimore County Executive, Ted Venatoulis, joining us here, and we were, man, between crab cakes, you get the crab cake, you start telling the Colt stories and Don Schaefer stories. Oh, and so we were Baltimore Positive. You went out to the county, you ran the county in the 70s at a time when the Colts were here. You helped get the Colts a facility up in Owings Mills that became a police facility when Irsay left. But more than that, you've spent this life in media and trying to make the world smarter and share information. You're a writer, as you've bon vivant, as I would call you at this point. And you've been writing lately. You hosted Nancy Pelosi at your home recently.
I did.
A dozen of my friends were in your house that day.
They were, right.
And telling stories. But where we are in the world right now, in this Baltimore Positive thing, Don was my high school guidance counselor in 1982.
No kidding, really?
That's how I
know. How was
Don.
He? Was he pretty good? Was he a good guider?
You're going to appreciate this.
Listeners of the show are
No. Dundalk High School in August of 82.
Oh, it's a great place.
And they didn't put me in my journalism class at Dundalk High, so I had to go down and knock on the door to get into journalism class, right? So I went down and I'm, Don Moeller, you're a guidance counselor. You have to help me out. You need to get me into Mr. Leifert's class. So Don got me into my first journalism class. And you know what
kidding.
His encouragement was to a 13? I was an Ovaltine, okay? I was about this big and about this wide.
I know that feeling.
So he said to me, you're going to be the next Chris Thomas.
Ooh.
That's what he told me. So 1982.
And the rest is history. Ted, you have, and again, we thank all of our sponsors, State Fair, Fadley's, downtown, coming soon to Catonsville, our friends at Center Maryland, one of the truly great news aggregate sites.
Great
one-stop
local
shop.
Institution.
If you're not
really
checking
are.
Out Center Maryland, they care about the news. And our newest sponsor, Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary Realtor. So we thank them all. Ted, off the air, I was going to start with you becoming Baltimore County Executive. Well, let's do that, because then I want to get into it's interesting. I've known you forever, and I didn't know the role you played in terms of getting a Baltimore County facility for the old Colts and working with then Mayor Schaefer. But talk about, where were you? What were you doing before you ran for Baltimore County Executive?
I was a teacher. I was a professor. I taught at Hopkins at University of Maryland. I ran an institution, a suburban institution for Essex Community College, which they had asked me to do.
Is this sort of poli-sci or what?
Yeah, it was government history, political science. I was writing. I wrote a book. Was working on I'd written two books, working on a novel. And I was doing pretty well. I mean, that's really what I was doing. The story is an interesting one. There was a fellow named it was the Agnew era.
Okay.
Right?
Corruption
Agnew,
everywhere.
Corruption, and the local guys, they all should have either went to jail or should
have. Dale Anderson, go down the list.
Yeah, you can go down. Yeah, exactly right. But Agnew, they were all doing it.
Interesting that I woke up to Catherine Pugh today all these years later.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Okay, well,
that's a shame.
Know.
So anyhow, we decided, we lived in the county, that we had to do something. A group of citizens, we got together, and we were looking for a candidate. And Jim Fisher, who was the president of Towson College at the time, was a great
Towson
friend.
Towson State at the time.
Towson State.
Right.
And was a terrific guy. And he was articulate. He was young. And so we became friends. And I went to him. I said, because I taught there as well. I said, Jim, you got to run. You're interested in politics. He said, okay. I said, we got a team. I'll run the campaign for you. I'd run Schaefer's campaign. That's an interesting story, by the way, how that happened.
Well, we'll jump to that.
Okay. And at any event, I persuaded him to run. So we get ready. We're starting to work. We're hustling.
72?
73. 74.
Right. Okay.
Well, 74 is the election.
Is the election. Right. 70. Yeah, 74, you take over the office.
Right.
Right?
So you would have been 73.
Yeah.
And that's in the height of Watergate, literally.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So we get started, and Jim calls me and said, Ted, I can't run. I said, why? We're going to win. He said, they've threatened my pension. If I run, they're going to take it away from me. I said, Jesus, this is... So... We're in the room. We couldn't do anything about that. And I said, well, look, we got to get another candidate. And I was the loudest talker in the room, and I became the candidate. Turned to me.
Is that like, it's like Dick Cheney. I run the search committee. And
oh, yeah, that became
me.
Right.
No, seriously, you had never thought about it.
No,
so you ran Schaefer's campaign before that, 71, 72.
71. And after
so
that.
So why?
Because you're a teacher,
and you're an athlete, and you're.
Because I was the administrative assistant to a fellow named Carlton Sickles in Washington. Sickles was a very terrific guy and a big labor guy. His dad was head of the International Asbestos
Workers. This is when he was the congressman?
He was a member of Congress.
And we had at-large members at that time,
because they couldn't
Ted?
Find a place, so he was congressman at large.
Right.
And I was his administrative officer, the top thing in the congressional world over there, and how I got there. But in any event, so he was really pressured to run for the governorship. He was a natural, but he really did not want to. He loved his, and he was in the House of Representatives on the Education and Labor Committee. We were doing all that stuff. Kennedy had been shot. Lyndon Johnson had come in. We did all kinds of stuff. I mean, we all the major legislation that exists today was really in there under Kennedy and then Johnson. But he ran 1968, 66 or 68, ran for governor. We lost that race. In running for governor, we did not have a lot of elected officials. Don Schaefer was one. He was president of the council, and he came out and endorsed us. And I said to Schaefer, Don, I owe you one. That was a mistake. I said, I owe you one. So he supported us. We lost the governor's race by maybe 300 votes. A fellow named George Mahoney, A Home Is Your Castle.
Give people,
right?
Ted, this is such an incredible history lesson. I'm a teenager at the time. I call that one of the pretty dark moments.
It's horrible.
In Maryland history.
You're right, Tom.
Tell them about Mahoney's politics. And we're talking about a state in 68 where George Wallace actually got a large percentage of the vote in the state. It was an ugly
Absolutely.
Period.
It was. It was a horrible period. And Wallace, I think, ended up winning the presidential primary or whatever, but it was ugly. It was really tough in Baltimore County, too, by the way, particularly.
I mean, so, George Mahoney, the Home Is Your Castle thing, for people who don't remember, try to think back, and Nestor's not even born yet,
probably.
But I was born in 68.
Okay.
So you're right around there.
At that time, there is a
I was born 3 weeks before the election. How about that?
This is what
we needed your vote,
correct
Nestor,
me. Right? It's this divisiveness that Mahoney becomes the gubernatorial candidate for the Democrats that leads to Spiro Agnew.
You got it.
Because Democrats, his campaign was so openly racist. Think about it, Nestor, and Ted's the historian. Back then, you had a candidate for governor running against fair housing in the state of Maryland,
yep,
saying that it should be okay for you to not sell your home to an African American if you don't want to.
He won the primary on that slogan. After the primary, by 300, we contested it, did all the recounts and everything. We lost by 300 votes. So we went to him after the election, we, the Democrats, and said, George, you got to drop the slogan and we'll be with you, but you got to drive the slogan. I'm not driving that slogan, blah, 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 blah. We all went to Agnew, who was a moderate Republican. They existed then, by the way. Matthias, a whole host of them, the Bell family, they were all moderate, decent people you could deal with and talk to. Well, Agnew won. And that was, so that's how I got, so after the election.
Corruption got you into politics, kind of,
it
yes?
It actually did.
That was the reason you got involved. Yeah.
Then, after that, we lost the election. I had promised Schaefer I would, I owed him one. 1971 comes, he decides to run for the mayor. Tommy decided not to run again, and he was just a terrific mayor and a terrific guy. We became very, very close, as you know, Don, close friends, before he passed away. And we ran, so I ran Schaefer's campaign. He called me and said, you said you owed me one. I'm running for mayor. You got to run my campaign. I said, okay, Mr. Schaefer, I will. Went, saw him, sat down.
Let me help you out.
Yeah,
can
you do that? I'm sorry about that.
No worries. There we go. Got you better. There we go.
Okay. Anyhow, I sat down with him. I said, okay, how do we get started? He dips into his pockets and pulls out all kinds of things, matchbooks, little papers, little things. And he said, all these people want to help. Call them.
That was a filing system.
Yeah, that was his filing system. Jesus. I said, this is incredible, Don. So we got started and we won.
What made him special?
First of all, he was eccentric then. I didn't know he would be special. I knew he was good and a decent fella, but I didn't know that he would be a great, great mayor. I didn't sense that. In fact, after the election when we won, we beat George Russell and a number of other good people.
Quality candidate.
Yeah, and after the election, he came and said, Ted, you got to come to my office and be my chief of staff. I said, Don, you're a little wacky, and I'm not sure. In a pleasant way, I said, because he was rough during the campaign. There were times he'd say, I'm not going out there. I'm tired. I'm not going to go.
He's an introvert, right?
Oh, yeah. And he said, I said, okay, Schaefer, don't go. I said, all those people who arranged the day for you, I'm going to tell them you're not coming. I said, all right, I'll come. That's how he operated. He used his eccentricity to his favor. And So anyhow, I said no. I love what I'm doing. I wasn't thinking of running for executive then. I love what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep on working on a book, and I'm not going to get in there with you because, you know,
You might be crazy.
You might be wacky. Right. So I didn't go.
He became a terrific man. What did you learn?
Because what a lot of folks listening may not know is that Ted has been an informal advisor to many elected officials, certainly invaluable to our good friend Kevin Kamenetz.
Kevin.
In terms of particularly not only when he ran for exec, but you were very involved in his kitchen cabinet when he was striving to be governor. What did you learn early on, Ted, about Mayor Schaefer's campaign and then yours a few years later about running campaigns and what makes... Nestor loves this because he always thinks he may run one day. So
well,
give him the primer.
You,
What's the Venatoris primer if you want to win?
Well, it's I don't know that it's valuable today, but I can tell you exactly what we did and why we won. We had no money. We were late getting into the race because of the Fisher thing. What we had was some level of enthusiasm. We started with about 10, 12 people, and gradually it kept getting bigger. But we had some tricks that we used that were terrific today. First of all, we were it was all volunteers. We didn't pay anybody. No campaign manager, no press secretary. We had no money.
True believers.
So when they came to me and said, you got to run, I said, okay, when I finally decided to do it. But you got to take, it was a summer campaign, by the way. You got to take the summer off, run the campaign. You got to take the summer off, be the press secretary. You got to take the summer off and do whatever it is. I made them all do what I was doing. No income. Running for 3 months in the summer. We were September primary. So, what do we do? First of all, I noticed that the county executive at the time would have a press conference on every Wednesday or Thursday in the county office building. I said, we're going to have press conferences every Thursday outside on the county steps. When the press comes out, they're going to have to bump into us. When we had five or six candidates, George Mahoney got into the race, and I thought he was going to, he always carried Baltimore County. Frank Barrett, the president of the city council, was in a whole bunch of guys in the race. And we had to get attention. And so while the county executive was having a press conference, they came out, and there we were, and we had a press conference. And every week, the same thing. And no one could figure out, why were we getting all this publicity? Because every time they'd come out, they asked me to comment on what the executive said. And it was that simple. Well, that was one thing. Secondly, we went to the point. They had 35,000 people. Every morning, they came in at five different gates. We went to a different gate every morning, and we would shake hands with these guys as they came in.
Percentage of workers at the point that were county residents at that point?
I had no idea.
It had to be 80%, right?
Probably, but it didn't make any difference. That's where a crowd was in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
There's no other crowd. UAW, we would go there. Then the question, and after 6:30, what do you do? Can't go back to bed. You're juiced up. So we would go to the corners Holabird and Dundalk, whatever the big crossroads were, and stand on the corner. And we had a lot of volunteers. Most of them were teachers, by the way, Don, because they could work with us in the morning and then go to the school.
And you were popular with teachers.
Absolutely. Really. I mean, it was an intimacy. So
you paid Don well in the 70s?
So we had them all with us, group. We would go to a street corner. It was a long wait. A volunteer would go up to the door, knock on the door, on the window, and a person would pull it down if it wasn't down and say, "Say hi to your next county executive."
Had signs, I'm assuming.
In the streets, right. Shake hands. And I would say, a volunteer would come behind me and say, "Can we put a bumper sticker on your car?" Okay? This is a key. You don't hand out bumper stickers because people don't put them on cars. So we had, now, how did we get them on a car? We had a volunteer stand at the bottom, at the back of the car, and if they said yes, the volunteer would shake the head, and that person would put that bumper sticker on the car. Now, this was really organization. I mean, and then
this is guerrilla marketing.
Oh, well, you can see why candidates run to Ted Venatul. We're sitting with former Baltimore
gorilla.
County executive
yeah, right.
Ted Venatul, was again legendary figure. Talking to us about really the ABCs of winning a campaign.
Well, that's part of it. You got a client over here.
Nice, got an oil hat on. Perfect.
How are you? Nice to see you, Ted Venatul. It's good to see you.
They still love Ted in the camera.
Good to see you.
So you're putting bumper stickers on now, Ted. What else did you do at that?
Well, okay. At that point, you're finished at like 9:30. The cars are stopped. What do you do then? Well, at that time, there was only one person in the family working. The women were at home. We have volunteers. We would go to the grocery stores. Once they put the kids away, they would go do their shopping. We'd stand at the grocery store. The woman would come out. I'd grab their bag and say, "Can I help you with the bags?" I'd carry them to the car with me, okay? They open the door, put it in, and then a volunteer would come over. "Hey, could we put a bumper sticker on your car?" They're going to say no after I carried their bags to the car? No. So another bumper sticker.
This is a man of the people.
I mean,
I don't know if they're willing to do that to be mayor of Baltimore.
If you are a young candidate out there, you ought to be taking notes. Because you know what, Ted? And you were adamant about this. And you and Kevin and I had a lot of moments at the Towson Diner where you were beating on him about these principles of street politics.
Yeah, right. Go ahead. What street politics?
Then we didn't finish then. I mean, now you're still going. It's now noon. Noon you could find crowds. We would do that. We would walk through restaurants.
Malls?
Here.
Well, you
shake
had
hands.
Malls in 74.
No, we would shake hands here. We'd go to beauty parlors. We'd shake hands. I'm sorry about
no,
this.
No, we're getting...
It's not tight enough.
We're working on the microphone.
Okay.
Part three. We'll get it right.
Okay.
I promise you. Just in time to leave.
So, anyhow, we would go to go through places at noon like this and shake hands, say hi to everybody, and then after that, what do you do? Well, after that, someone would have something at their home. So it's 2-3 o'clock, and we'd have something at their home. I would probably, then we'd go to the UAW for the afternoon shift.
Exhausting.
It is exhausting. Then... and I'll try to finish this segment up, because then there's a different segment. Between when the people came home, they would sit on their steps 6 o'clock before their dinner. We would then come through the neighborhoods with a car caravan, music blaring.
I remember that. You came down Bank Street.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Then we come. Volunteers would spread out. They'd knock on the doors. Come say hi to Ted. They'd hear the noise. The volunteer would motion me. I would go shake hands at that home. And then, jumping hedges, whatever it did, I would cross the street to another home, because by crossing the street, people would see what you're doing. If you went straight down the line, they couldn't see you. But this was exhausting. So we then crossed the street, and that whole neighborhood, because then a volunteer would come up to the house and say, where's your car? Can we put a bump? Or can we put a lawn sign up? People were saying yes. So when we finished with that neighborhood, the place was plastered with East Point. It didn't make any difference. Essex, Middle River, Parkville, Dundalk. All this began to shame. And then we started having events at night. I'd shower at somebody's home. We'd have 2 or 3 events at night at people's home. And then And this was the kicker. At about 10 o'clock, 10:30 when we finished, we'd hit the bars in Essex and Dundalk and Miniver.
I'm familiar with that.
We would go through the bars and say hi to everybody and talk to them. And then finally I would get home to rest. But look what happened. In the morning we go to the plant gates. Their wives have seen us. Someone who drove into town would have seen us. Their wives would have seen us. At night, some of these guys are at the bar when I see them. Then, did I see you this morning at the gates? And then the next day at the gate, they'd say, hey, were you in my neighborhood yesterday? What do you do? This is the third time I've seen you. You working down here? The talk
you created
was overwhelming.
Momentum.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't have any money.
Momentum.
I mean, this money. This is a master class, Nestor. I remember, Ted, the night you won, because there's another legendary Maryland political figure who at that time was working as a commentator on WBAL-TV, Perrin Mitchell.
Oh, absolutely.
Perrin J. Mitchell. Perrin actually was an adjunct professor at Western Maryland when I was there, taught me political science. And I can remember, because Nestor touched on it earlier, it was a time in this country where the corruption was rampant. We had come out of Watergate.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. We had these awful scandals in Baltimore County, and Ted was this fresh, new face, this up-and-coming guy who said, we've got to do things different.
We've got to be
more transparent. And I can remember to this day Perrin Mitchell saying, folks, if you don't think it's a new day, look out there in Baltimore County. Look at what that Ted Venatulis is doing.
Yeah,
I think it's a great place to take a break. We're going to come back and talk president.
I'm going to fix the
mayor,
camera, too.
I hope you took notes. We are with the legendary Ted Venatulis here at State Fair. Nestor, we want everybody to vote April 16th, early vote. April 18th, voting for the mayor, election day, because democracy is not
A spectator sport. Ted Venatulis here. We're at State Fair. Back for more WNST and Baltimore Positive. Third segment coming up with Ted right after this.
Well, guys, I hope...